about 27 years ago, I met my husband of now 25 years. And that's when I learned about freaky families.
You are not allowed to bring this 2-pound sausage from Germany into the United States.
And they look super upset. And they're like, no, that's our puppy. That's our puppy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
I'm Jessica Hankin.
And this week on the podcast, in-laws, three stories about the other family you don't get to choose.
Before we get started, we want to thank the Park School of Baltimore, which is an independent pre-K through grade 12 school located just outside of Baltimore.
So the thing about in-laws is that even if your in-laws aren't weird, what you realize when you meet and really become part of someone else's family is how much your family had its own culture, which you didn't recognize because you grew up in it and thought it was just normal, and how different, even if you're both sort of normal families, how different the other family's culture is. So best case scenario, it's still really different. Well, here, Sherry Maurer's sharing a story about a case where her family is normal, so she says, and her husband's family is not. Take a listen.
So talking about freaky families, I have a FFF story. It's a freaky family funeral story. So there's a lot of reoccurring themes. But I have to give you a little background initially so you can understand the freakiness of this family. I come from an extremely normal family. I grew up in the suburbs here. Mother, father, loved each other, married many, many years. I have 5 siblings. All of us still married to our original spouses. Nobody in rehab, nobody in trouble. Just really kind of a normal family. It was really, really a blessing. And then about 27 years ago, I met my husband of now 25 years. And that's when I learned about freaky families. So let me tell you about a freaky family. Usually they say you find someone who's a lot like you. Well, my husband is an amazing, normal, grounded guy. But the family, not so much. Okay, here's the background. His mother is a Romanian-born artist Holocaust survivor who at 88 lives in a old city firehouse in Baltimore with a little chairlift that takes her up to the top, and the entire basement is filled with huge works of art. So she's a fascinating woman who was married to my father-in-law, who has since passed away, who was a manic depressive recovering alcoholic geneticist scientist. So it was very juxtaposition from how I grew up. So there are many, many stories of interesting, freaky things in their family. But the funeral of my father-in-law was probably one of the strangest. So most of us have been to funerals. You go to the funeral, the minister, the priest, the whoever is going to get up, the rabbi, and they're going to tell about this person and tell wonderful things about them. And then they ask if anyone wants to speak. So the rabbi in this case spoke about my father-in-law, Irving, and then he said, would anyone like to speak? Well, there was my mother-in-law, wife number one, Joan, wife number two, and Leah, current wife number three. So they all raise in their hand, and they all want to get up there and speak. So first of all, my Holocaust survivor mother-in-law gets up there, and she decides to not really speak about Irving, but to start to tell her Holocaust story at his funeral. Okay, so that was kind of interesting, okay? Second comes wife number two, Joan, who gets up there and looks out at my husband and his sister and his brother and says, Josh, Daniel, Joanna, I just want you to know I will always love you like stepchildren. And that's the truth. Okay. Number three gets up there and says, looks at the casket and says, Irving, you told me you'd loved me like no other woman in your entire life. So that's the first three. Then, of course, my husband, who is the great, normal kind of guy, decides he's not going to speak, but his brother, who's a child psychologist, gets up there, and he's sitting up there, and he starts telling his therapy stories of his upbringing and why he is the way he is at his father's funeral. Okay. Then his sister, on marriage number three, and was an ex-professional dancer turned attorney, gets up there and proclaims that she wants to do an expression dance about her thoughts about her father. And she's up there doing this dance. And meanwhile, I'm sitting there with my husband, and our daughters, who at that time were probably 8 and 6, and I'm thinking, this is the first funeral they've ever been to, and they're thinking, this is what funerals are like. So thankfully, they have, not thankfully, unfortunately, they've now had some normal funerals. Unfortunately, we've lost people on our side, but they do know the difference between a freaky family and a somewhat functioning family. Thanks.
This is like the dark humor of the story is the idea that at a husband's funeral, the ex-wife would tell her Holocaust tale. I just feel like that's straight out of a Woody Allen movie and so awesome.
Yeah.
And so true to like how strange life is. Before we get on to our next in-law story, we want to thank Golden West, a vegan-forward restaurant on the avenue in Hamden, which has a late-night window and has good Southwestern food. And we want to thank Baltimore Magazine, which chronicles this complicated and wonderful town. You can find them at baltimoremagazine.com or on the newsstand. All right, so I love this next story. Typically on The Stoop, we want people to tell personal stories, but in this case, the character in this story that this gentleman, George Tankard, is talking about is so vivid and lovely that even though he's telling a story that he heard and he didn't experience firsthand, we are including it because it's awesome and unforgettable. Take a listen.
Well, good evening. I feel a little daunted by those who have gone before me, particularly my wonderful wife. I married into a really freaky family. A really, really freaky family. But a wonderful family. And in particular, a family of strong women. Yes. And one of the strong women in our family was my wife's mother's sister, which was her aunt, who was a world-renowned scientist at Harvard University. She was the head professor of the anatomy department there, did all this research, was shortlisted for the Nobel Prize, was just this incredible, highly accomplished scientist. But she was also very freaky. So and this story has been transmitted to me. I wasn't there. But I can totally understand the story, and I feel as though I was there in some ways. So she was invited to give the keynote address at some conference in Germany. I think it was in Frankfurt, but I'm not sure. And her area was cellular biology, not that it matters to me because I'm not a scientist. So she's the headline speaker. She's bringing in huge amounts of grants to Harvard. So she's actually making a very good salary. She's this internationally recognized scientist. On her way back from Germany, she decides to purchase a 2-pound sausage of some variety. I'm not sure exactly what it was. This has been related to me. And not surprisingly, as she's going through security, they tell her, this incredibly accomplished scientist, I'm sorry, in spite of all your accomplishments, you are not allowed to bring this 2-pound sausage from Germany into the United States. This is a very strong-willed woman, an incredible woman, and without saying anything, she glares at the person who has made this pronouncement, takes the sausage, this 2-pound sausage, and proceeds to eat the entire sausage rather than forfeit it. And that is one of my wonderful, freaky family members.
You know who I could see doing that as well?
Who? My mother?
Yes.
totally. I was trying to envision what a 2-pound sausage, because I can envision like a 1-pound package of ground meat.
Yeah.
And then doubling that.
Yeah, that's a lot of sausage.
That's a lot of sausage. Yeah. And I'm wondering, did she just like hold it and just gnaw off of it?
Yeah, and maintained eye contact.
And, you know, sometimes there's that skin around the sausage that you have to peel off.
Let's just take a
deep
dive into
what had to happen.
And then
whoever had to sit next to her on the plane was then smelling sausage, like sweat coming off of her, as one does. I've heard about that. That's never happened to
no,
me. But
of course not.
It's just, it's all kinds of weird and wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
And so is this last story. Before we get to it, we want to thank Baltimore Center Stage. You can get tickets at centerstage.com.
All right. So this next storyteller is, full disclosure, we get to call her a friend, which feels great. She has been on the podcast before.
Yes.
And she is
Scottish.
Scottish. And just a wonderful woman who is an art. This is where I'm going to.
Conservator.
Is it conservator or restorer?
Both.
Yes. Okay. I thought so. Both. Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm covering all bases.
She's very talented nonetheless. Please take a listen to Gillian Stewart Quinn.
So this starts about 7 years ago, and I have twins, and they were at the age where we decided we should get a puppy. So we go online, and we are super PC. We do the rescue, and we find this puppy that we really like. And so we drive down to Rockville and in the snow, and we're at the adoption, and the puppy comes out, and they're like, this is the puppy for the Quins. And across from us, there's this family with two daughters, and they just look completely distressed, and they look super upset, and they're like, no, that's our puppy, that's our puppy. And we're like, we don't really care, like, as long as we get a puppy. So if you really want this puppy, you can have this puppy. We'll just take the next puppy that comes out. So another puppy comes out, which is the sister of that puppy, and we take this puppy. And the mom comes up to me afterwards. She said, oh, thank you so much. That was really kind of you. We should keep in touch. And, you know, the sisters can keep in touch. I'm like, okay, that's good. So it took about 6 months to get the puppies together. But they did actually definitely recognize each other, and they had a play date. And really not, we would not normally hang out with people like this, but we thought, this is cool. And so she contacts me, and she said, you know, we should have a birthday party. I'm like, okay. I don't know if this is a thing that's done, but cool. So they invite us out, and they happen to live just outside of Baltimore, and they have a big garden and everything. So we take our dog out, and great birthday party. There's like a banner, and they have birthday cakes for the dogs with candles in them, and they put little hats on them and bandanas, and we sing happy birthday, and there's lots of gifts, and I'm like, this is kind of fun. The kids are into it. My husband's kind of like, it's a dog, but okay, everyone's into it. So we do the birthday party the following year. We don't see a lot of them. We don't run in the same circles, but the following year, another big birthday party. Then the next year, kind of disaster strikes. So this is the sad part. So about 8 days before their birthday, the other dog is running with her owner, and she gets lost and out in the county, and they can't find her. So they call us, and they're like, could you bring your dog out and see if she can, like, sniff her out? So we're like, okay. So I go out there, can't sniff her out. She's, like, in the wilderness. So they're like, okay, well, we've put out these, like, food areas. And so there was these big wooden boards with flour all over them, and they'd put food on them at night, and then they'd come and check on them in the morning. And I went out every day with my dog before work to try and sniff out. We're like 3 or 4 days in, and they're getting really worried. It's getting kind of cold. And so they get this hound dog, who's like a sniffy dog, for like to find dead people and stuff. And so they pay for this dog to come and sniff around to see if it can find traces of the dog, and they're like, oh no, the dog's definitely here, just don't know where it is. So they're doing the food thing, I'm going out in the mornings, and they've got the hound dog twice. They get a medium, and the medium's like, totally feel the dog. The dog is here. Can't find the dog. So we're at like day eight. It's their birthday. So I'm like, oh my God, I better go out with my dog again. So I go out and we're walking around. And first of all, I park in this, like, there's a derelict house. And we get out, actually. And as soon as I get out, my dog runs into this old shed and comes out with her sister. And they're like jumping around. It's really wonderful. And I call them and I'm like, hey, happy birthday. Guess who I've got? And she's like, oh my God, really? Like, they're so upset. They're like, they can't believe it. They're like, we're on the way to the FBI. Like, they were heading down. I'm not quite sure what they were going to do. But anyway, they were like, is it true? Can we turn back? I'm like, yes, you can come back. So anyway, that was like the party of all parties. Like, our dog gets like a certificate and a medal and a big bed, like a big pet bed. It's great. My kids are like, what is going on? So anyway, a couple of years later, we move. And before, we were living in like downtown, so we didn't have a big garden. And we move out to Mount Washington, and we say, can we host the party? Because we've never get to host a party. My husband's like, okay. So my kids make a banner, and we have the cake, and we do all this stuff, and they bring really nice dessert, and the dogs have had their presents, and everyone's happy. And we're sitting having dessert, and the dad, who's so super sweet, he's like, oh, Julian, I was thinking of you. A few days ago, I was driving in Bolton Hill, and one of my favorite statues is gone, and it really made me sad. I was like, oh, okay, that's weird. What was the statue of? Mm. And he said, oh, it was really beautiful. It was an angel holding a Confederate soldier, and it made me really sad that they took it down. My husband, who is not backwards, coming forwards, and has very strong opinions that I am totally behind, he was like, oh, well, actually, there's probably a very good reason that that came down. How would you feel if you were living, if you're in your neighborhood, there was a statue to someone who committed atrocities to your people? And that's when the mom spoke up, and she was like, oh, those people, they don't know. They wouldn't even realize what the statue's about. So then my husband's like, oh, those people? Those people? And at that point, the husband has like got his head in his hands, and he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I brought this up. I'm so sorry. And so she's like, yeah, those people. And then it just, oh my God, then it just gets crazy. She gets up. She's like, I pray every day that the president makes America great again, and goes over to my husband and like stands over him and is like, I pray for you. And he's like, oh, that's it. That's it. And so she's like, she calls the name of the dog. Skippy, Skippy, we're leaving. Skippy, we're going. I was like, oh my God. First of all, why didn't she take her husband? But anyway, so they head out. I'm like, I follow her. I'm like trying to like, I don't know. The husband gets up really super apologetic. They leave. The next day, we get a really nice apology from the husband and a pie, a very nice pie. And my husband's kind of like, you know, I'm done. Like, I'm done. And it's coming up. So, like, we don't hear anything from them, really, for the year. And it's coming up to their birthday. And I'm like, I wonder what's going to happen about their birthday. So I get a text from the husband. And he's like, hey, just wondering if you want to come out for the birthday party this year, you know. And I'm thinking, well, I kind of do, because I feel like, I don't know, today it's so, everything is so divisive and everyone is so polarized. I was like, okay, we need to be the bigger people and we're going to go to the birthday party. So we did, but my husband did not, which I totally respect. But I'm hoping he's going to go next year. But anyway, It just made me realize, you know, you can't pick your families, so. Even if it's a dog one.
Yeah, so what I love is this take on the typical in-law situation, which is when you have, like, dog in-laws,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And that these, as Jillian said very tactfully, you know, these aren't people we normally would associate
yes.
with, which but they're tied together by these, you know, these dogs. Oh, my God, I just love how crazy that is. And just her willingness to keep
yeah.
going because and keep trying
family.
Because it's family.
Yeah. Snowball would want
oh
it that way.
Oh, my God. All right. We want to thank The Wine Source, located at 3601 Elm Avenue in Hamden. They've been a longtime sponsor of The Stoop, and you should visit them and buy all your wine and beer and goodies there. We have a show coming up on May 14th called Night Shift, and it's in collaboration with the Museum of Industry. And it's stories about working after the sun goes down. So come out and join us there. We'll have live music. It's a beautiful site right on the harbor, and it's always a really fun show.
Please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. And you can find out more about us at stoopstorytelling.com. We want to thank Maureen Harvey, who is just a wonderful gal.
See you next week.